Here we are at the Mishnah in the middle of Kaf Dalet Omid Aleph. Did we learn this Mishnah last week?
No.
So the Mishnah says, Hamaftir Banavi, Hu Pores Al Hashma. The person who is the Maftir, who gets the Eighth Aliyah and reads from the Navi, is the one that we assign to be Pores Al Hashma. Now we talked about, was it Pores Al Hashma or Pores Et Hashma? It's a kind of, without going into the depths of it, because it's really so unclear, but it's a kind of being Shaliach Tzibur for the people that didn't get Shul on time.
Isn't Shema before?
Oh, so that's an excellent question. So maybe it means that the person that will be the maftir will also have done this. Right? And in other words, maybe it means that these people have come late. The reason that you're Pores Al Hashma are for the latecomers. So maybe they're really latecomers. V'hu over lefnei ha-teva. And he also serves as the chazan, which is today still something of a minag, that very often the person that gets maftir continues to daven a musaf.
But is that specifically musaf? We're already talking about shema.
We're not talking about shema. Pores Al Hashma is not the shema that we normally say. Pores Al Hashma, again, is the latecomers to shul have this kind of kitzer where they say baruchu, and they say kaddish and baruchu, and they say yotzer. Or they say the first bracha, and then they skip to Shema. It's a way of being motzi, these people that come late, in this kind of... So the maftir, he's also... V'hu noseet kapav, he duchens, if he's a kohen, of course. V'im haya katan, avivo rabo ovrin al yado. And if the maftir himself is a katan, if he's pre-bar mitzvah, because you can be ma'ale pre-bar mitzvah for the maftir, so then this honor goes to his father or to his rabbi, to his rebbe.
When you say he's a noseet kapav, doesn't every coin?
Oh, excellent question. Well, we will get to that. Katan, a pre-bar mitzvah, koreba Torah umitargem. He can read the Torah and he can be the mitargem. Aval eino pores al hashma ve'eino over lefnei ha-teva. But he can't serve as shliach tzibur, neither as a regular shliach tzibur, nor as this kind of Reader's Digest shliach tzibur for what's called the pores et hashma. Ve'eino noseet kapav. And a katan does not duchen. Is that our practice? What do you mean, only with an adult? If an 11-year-old is in shul without his father, does he go? No, not the only kohen.
Then he wouldn't go up.
I think our practice is that he does go.
I can tell you one thing I do remember. I'm not sure this if it comes from
when you were once a kohen.
When I found out later that it wasn't a kohen, and there was some question about it. So a number of questions came up about what was the status of what I had done when I thought I was a kohen and I wasn't. So one of the things that they, in fact, I was an aide and I was all kinds of other things.
An aide, that's the Rav Moshe's, is not a problem.
But in terms of the kohenim, so the one thing that the Bigman was trying to say is that there is some Gemara that talks about Ravacha, I don't know the Gemara that says that a non kohen can be mitzaref even to berakah kohenim. As long as there's some of the kohen there, then it wasn't. I didn't do anything terrible by going up. There were sometimes it was just me, but other times it wasn't.
Anyway, so
if he's under bar mitzvah,
as long as
he's not the only coin, and he goes up.
Anyway, the Mishnah says that a katan should not duchen, but we have to clarify under what circumstances shall a katan not duchen. Pocheach. What's a pocheach? So Rashi says, במסכת סופרים מפרש כל שקרעיו נראים ערום ויחף. As somebody whose clothing is tattered, it looks like a schlepper, right? So it looks like a slightly neither both improper and a little bit not sanua. It's possible that pocheach is also means somebody who's barefoot. Yachef. So pocheach poreset hash.
Ma? Not like an offer.
No.
We're not talking about that.
Because if you have a no, that's a pocheach. It's like you're in tattered. So pocheach poreset hashma umitargem aval eino kore b'torah ve'eino over lefnei ateva. So for the lesser tafkidim, if he's dressed in this manner, he can be poris alashma, and he can be the mitargem, but he can't be the balkori of the Torah, and he can't be the shliach tzibur. Ve'eino noseh et kapav, and if he's a kohen and he's dressed this way, he can't duchim. Suma, somebody who's blind. Rashi says that the reason that the pocheach can't kore b'Torah mishum kvod Torah v'chein lifnei ateva v'chein b'nesiat kapayim gnai hu letzibur, to have somebody who's dressed in rags. Suma, a blind person, poreset hashma u'mitargem.
Mashma that he doesn't do those things.
Maybe Mashmi doesn't do that.
Which actually fits also, to a certain degree, it fits with the previous one, if that's the case, because Suma himself can't see, and the Pocheach is somebody who looks inappropriate, so apparently there's something visual to the concept of, like, Toreset Hashma and Mitagem is something that's apparently more...
Functional.
More...
low level.
I wouldn't say low, I'd say just, like, it's audio. It's it's what I'm looking for. Whatever the adjective is for audio. Right. Whereas
audible.
Audible, maybe? Okay.
No, it's
not I know, but it's like whatever it is, you understand what I'm saying. And then the Aliyah LaTorah, those are things you see the person. And
we're not talking about Aliyah LaTorah, we're talking about Korei, but Torah, we mean that he's a Bal Korei.
Okay, fine.
Which might be the same as being an Aliyah LaTorah.
Bal Korei, over the Shnei Tevah, someone you see, and so there's this visual aspect of it, which right. wouldn't be appropriate either to the Suma or the person who doesn't look the part.
Yes, possibly. So, the Tanakhama says, Suma poreset hashma u'mitargem. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol shelo ra'a me'orot mi'amav eino pores al hashma. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's different types of blind people. There are people that are born blind, who've never, eino ra'a me'orot mi'amav. He's never seen. And there's somebody who goes blind. And there's a difference. If you've gone blind, but previously had sight, so then you can be poris al hashma. But if you were born, eino roe morot meyamav, he never had sight in his whole life, so then it can't be poris al hashma. Why?
I think a couple of reasons. On a more abstract level, maybe because he can't really do the kashat tzitzit, you have to be demotan.
Oh.
Or, if you want to talk on a more technical level, you're not really supposed to be reading entirely by heart, and maybe there's an issue there with you've never even read it in the first place to be able to read it, to be able to say it.
To read what by heart?
The text. In other words, he's never read the text. He's never actually read the text. He's never looked the words of the text. So you're doing it only by heart, in which case maybe that's more fun.
Yeah, so that's a good svara, David, but it's not the case. Because it's not osur to daven bal peh. It's an Eitzah Tova that you should daven. Even
there were some things we read that you couldn't.
Megillah can't. But we're not talking about Megillah or Kriyat Torah. Megillah or Kriyat Torah. But here we're talking about being Shlech Tzibur. Yeah, Shema you can recite Baal Peh. Shema you can recite Baal Peh. Shema is part of Tefillah. You can recite Baal Peh. Shema, when you get up to it in the Torah, you have to read from the text. It's always an Eitzah Tova. Even we who know the whole Tefillah Baal Peh. I was someplace not long ago. Set up a bris. I was standing next to a guy. He davened the whole davening. The whole davening. The whole davening. From brachos until Eikel Okeinu. Baal Peh.
I was in a chakra system.
And it was so distracting to me.
It's very... yeah, it has to be, like, really closely roped.
I mean, you have to be like Rain Man.
Right.
Yeah, like...
I once saw somebody who was the most amazing thing.
So I said to him... I mean, this is somebody that I casually know. I said, what's up with you? So he said, yeah, I find it easier to dive in Baal Peh. I said... This was a bris milah, so it wasn't relevant. I said, but what if it was a sheni chami? You know the whole long tachtun bal peh? So he kind of like nodded. I don't know. He's a smart guy, but I was a little surprised.
No, I had the opposite experience. I once went, when I was working with Shabbos Shabbatim, and Eric Rubenstein was with Shabbos Shabbatim in Shalah, and he would kind of every day daven. And I never spoke to him.
Nobody ever said he was a stupid guy.
No, so I went to him, and he has, like, I felt that he had the most, maybe the most difficult job in the government. He's not a politician. He has to really, what he does is really effectively has to be matul, you know, any shikulim and politim. So I said, how do you daven? I get distracted from, like, just thinking what's going on at home or whatever, something, you know, and you come to me, how do you know? He said, look, first of all, I get distracted also. But he said the main thing he does to avoid being distracted is he looks at the words. He doesn't look at the words.
Right.
He'll be
so that's
about
the issues. That's the Eitzah. You should always daven from a sitter. You know, benching. Baruch HaKhon. You should always bench from a sitter, from a bencher.
Right. And not just to say the word part, but also help you make
yes,
sure you're in
yes, yes, yes.
Otherwise, so you could say the Hefer.
Hmm? Why?
I find the work with when I'm doing things that I've done before, and I'm doing them, let's say, quote-unquote, like by heart. Okay? Yeah. That I'm more concentrating on what I'm doing than if I have the instructions in front of me.
So it's like make an effort to remember the words.
Because I'm making an effort. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody that's supposed to say Shabbat did Kiddush Levana by heart. I never saw that before.
I'm sure I would not be able to do that. Anyway, so but that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about what Shalom said, which was the bracha of Yotzer Or.
Or each motto is also the reason not to.
Yeah, but that happens not to be the case. In Poreis HaLashma, the Shliach Tzibur, the one who's called the Poreis, recites the bracha and is motzi other people. So apparently, a Suma who's never had sight cannot be motzi other people for that bracha. Of the bracha that we say upon the benefit of having light. According to Rabbi Yehuda. It's possible, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he can't even say it for himself. The Gemara says, my time, Rav Papa Amar Mishum, my time that the maftir, we give him these other honors as well. If you're maftir, so you're also, you should be the shlech tzibur for Musaf. If you're maftir, we assign you to be the poreis alashma. So my time, Rav Papa Amar Mishum Kavod. Rashi says Mishum Kavod, lahavir lifnei ateva, ho'il umamtsi atzmo ledavar she'eno kvodo tiknu, lo zu lechavod. So maftir was considered that you were doing, right? You're the gabbai, right? So sometimes you go and you give somebody a kibud. So you're doing them a favor, right? And they treat it like
final davin.
Right, like I always feel this about the drusha. You try to get somebody to give a drusha. I go and I say, you give the drusha the Shabbos? And I have to listen to them for 20 minutes, tell me how busy they are. If you're so busy, so shut up, but you could have prepared the drusha this time. Right? So they tell me how busy. You know, you're busy, I'm also busy. It's like they're doing me. I'm like, you don't understand. You're not doing me a favor by giving the drusha. I'm doing you a favor by giving you the honor of being able to teach Torah to people.
This is why I don't want an aliyah.
Right? So the maftir was considered like a low level honor.
Sometimes people have to.
You can, haraya, you can even give it to a katan.
Of course, to take the honor.
So, in order that he shouldn't feel that we were mevazehim, you get echad vechad chinam. You get the maftir, but you also get the daven musaf. Today is different. Today, maftir is considered an honor.
Well, the opposite. Sometimes we had a few weeks ago, the gabbai gave somebody maftir expecting to daven musaf, and he gets the end maftir, and then I went to musaf.
That was just like the gaboyim got together. They feel like if I get the maftir, I'll also daven musaf. I'm off the hook. Yeah. I can now daven myself.
I can go cut their hair.
Once I, yeah. So according to Rav Papa, it's you give him the extra honors because, you know, to as a pitsui on the, in quotes, in quotes, the lack of honor of the maftir. Rabba Bashimi Amar Mishum De'atil Insuye. No. You give him the maftir so that we won't have a machlokas. We won't have a fist fight break out in shul. Why? What's the fist fight? Hadavar bali day. What? Rashi. Hadavar bali day. Lidei machloket. Ani maftir vata ta'avor lifnei ateva. In other words, if you give musaf to somebody else, so the maftir is going to say, "I did all the hard work. I was maftir, and you get to go and
take all the glory."
So what's it? In other words, what's the difference, right? In other words, they're both a little bit about kavod. So the Gemara asks, "Ma benayhu? What's the difference between these two shito?" Because the first, Rav Papa says, you give him an extra kavod to kind of compensate him, and the Rabbi Bar Shimi says you give him an extra kavod so that he won't fight with if somebody else becomes the maftir, somebody else davens musaf. So my benayhu, ikar benayhu, de avir b'chinam. That's in the days when everybody, like we have, we don't pay people to be shlech tzibur, to read the maftir, to read the kriyat, right? But if you're paying people, so then it doesn't matter. Vimaya, right? And as if you're paying people.
So the machloket is when they were paying people?
No. Rashi says, de'ima avid b'chinam, if he was working for free, hocha la'avor lefnei ateva, eino notel sechar. The hocha insuye leka mishum kavodika. Right? And that's if you're paying.
There wouldn't be a fight about who gets to do musaf, but there would be a fight about. Because you wouldn't pay. Right. You're saying when they pay the guy to do musaf, not when they pay the guy to do
right. Maftir. Right. When you have a paid shlech tzibur for musaf, so the can't, right. So the bal maftir can't claim. You can say it's his job, right? So the Gemara goes on.
We do it, by the way. It's not like there's no place like that. The world is
no, yeah, plenty. I grew up in a shul like that. I grew up in a shul where the cantor davened shachris, leined, and davened musaf every single Shabbos of the year, and the same tunes. Nothing ever changed. Like he said to him, like what, like Sim Shalom. Sim Shalom Tova Vracha Vesechezenu Enenu Beshuvacha Letzion Berachamim Vesechezenu Enenu Beshuvacha Letzion
Berachamim. Obviously made an impression.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a day where everything has to be, you know, a variety of a million.
Right.
There has to be a million different.
No, he thought, M&M. The chazan, like you said to the chazan, you said to the chazan, like we were kids, like we'd go, like all those balabatim in the shul, they'd never been anyplace else.
Is anybody else capable of being the chazan?
Probably not. Like there were probably a couple people that, like in a pinch, could have pulled it off, not well.
What happened when we went on vacation?
He rarely went on vacation. If he did, the rabbi, it was like they had. It was like the president and vice president. If he went away, the rabbi was there, and the rabbi who was certainly a competent Baal Tefila, didn't have a great voice, but he could pull it off. Once there was one occasion, I was already in college, that both of them were away, and he had me bring a bunch of guys from YU to like run things. And the Balabatim didn't know what to do themselves because it was just like the aliens had landed from Mars. So we were kids. We'd go away. Amy Schlackman and I grew up in the same shul. So like whenever like we get together, we end up doing like the greatest dance of Anshe Chesed. So.
The shuls
had a big tria.
No,
they, The shul got, they got, you know what it was? It was an Orthodox shul with an almost exclusively non-Orthodox population. But today, it's, from people moved in, and there's, then it was, there were no kids. It was me and Amy and the rabbi's kids and maybe two, three others. Now there's kids and there's young people, and it's, you know, they made it a property, they raised the mechitza, and they...
I went to Kertzky and saw they
no, but they fired the chazan. Because, in other words, if you have a cantor, that's a sign that it's not really a, an Orthodox shul. Right? No, so in other words, it could be that you have like a...
I'm saying Tiratzvi didn't have cantor, but they had, you know, his Yeki Kibbutzim, all the same menagim. And we went there a few years ago, not on Shabbat, within a week. We looked at this, went by the Baconess and saw the schedule, and they have a Karlach in it. And I was like, this is a...
That's
true, but I don't think that was there.
When that comes to Yavne, let me know, okay?
Yitachen, it could be there already, I wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway.
I doubt it, but okay.
Anyway, so we were kids, we'd go away for Shabbat to places, and you'd be exposed to things, and you discovered there's another tool to that. Right? So he said to him, like, why don't you try like this other? He said, no, if I do, the Balabatim will get confused.
In Allentown,
like, Allentown was a very similar congregation.
He used to have Chagai do Ein Gevahino, but not every week. Like, he would do it every other week, because he would do it to the Israeli tour.
Right.
And the American kid would do it to the American tour. This way, people knew both tours.
Right. Anyway, the Gemara goes on. Tznan, ve'im haya katan. So the Mishnah said, if the maftir is a katan and can't be a shlech tzibur, aviv o rabo ovrin al yado. In other words, in his place. Iyamart mishum nitsue. So, wait a second. If the reason is because they're going to make a fight. So, well, a katan doesn't get into a fight over his own kavod. Right? The katan's happy to already give a katan... You give the cotton psicha or Yigdal, he thinks he's like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Right? So, Horaya, as if the problem was, if the reason you let the maftir continue for Musaf is because he's going to start a fight, so a cotton's not going to start a fight. In which case, why do you have to have his father continue for Musaf? Elamai, Mishum Kvod Katan, Mishum Kavod, Katan Bar Kavod who? Ela Ika, Kavod Iviv, Kvod Rabo. No, in other words, it's not you. It's your, I don't know, sometimes we're more makbid on our children's Kavod than we are on our own Kavod. So in other words, the kid doesn't know the difference. Right, he's not. So why do you have to have the father? The kid's only too happy that they let him give maftir.
So you have two yard signs. The guy says, "Listen, you know, I don't need to cover it, but my father."
Right, Hachanami ikenitzui aviv nitzui rabbo. So we can, as the Gemara wanted to say, we could use the case of the katan maftir as a test case to figure out which of these two reasons it is. But neither of them, it turns out you can't really tell anything, because in both cases, you know, you can imagine the father punching the chazan in the nose, and you can imagine the father bearing the insult, you know, for his kid, so you can't learn anything. Pocheach pores al hashma v'chule. Boy mine ula barav meabaye katan pocheach mahu. What if this pocheach, the shoddily dressed fellow, is himself a katan? Sheikra b'tura. So Omar lay. In other words, what's the problem with the pocheach? Well, that's what Rashi said. So imagine for a second we don't have Rashi. Remember Rashi in the, that's what Rashi in the Mishnah says. Rashi in the Mishnah always explains the Mishnah aliba de maskona. So you know that pocheach means there's a problem with there's an affront to the honor of the Torah or the honor of the congregation to have somebody dressed this way. But the Gemara doesn't yet know that. So is the problem kavod, or what's the other possibility?
It would be distracting. It would be
or tzniut, or erva, right? In other words, if you're not properly dressed. So what would be a good test case? What? A katan. Because katan doesn't have erva. Right? So if a katan has shabby clothes on, so is that the issue?
Why is there no erva? I mean, the katan is uncovered.
Because
this is a different kind
that's because the erva, in terms of the erva in front of which you're not allowed to recite the Garm Sheva Kedusha.
It's more matter of tzniut than erva.
Right, they weren't wearing any undergarments. They wore a kind of thing.
Right.
So, boy minei ulabar rav mi abaye. Katan pocheach mahu. Sheik rabba Torah. So Omar lay v'tiboy lecha. But you should ask a different question. Tiboy lecha. Don't answer that question. Because if you want to get at the root of this by asking a question, that's not the right question to ask. Tiboy lecha. You should ask Orum. Ask about an adult who's naked. It's a hypothetical question, of course. But if you had somebody who was who davens for yom at the nudist colony. So, Orum my timer. Lo mishum kvod sibur hachi? Hachanami mishum kvod sibur. It's a little strange. It's a difficult Gemara. Because, what's the problem with a naked person? So, and it's true that a naked person would certainly be an affront to kavod sibur. But before it's an affront to kavod sibur, it poses the technical problem that you can't daven in such a circumstance. It's a difficult Gemara. See, so here Rashi says, "Katan pocheach mahu shikra b'Torah." Gadol pocheach, an adult who's dressed in this kind of raggedy clothing. Gadol pocheach hu de asur mishum velo yireh b'cha ervat davar. An adult who's shabbily clothed is a problem of erva, and you can't daven in the presence of erva. Aval katan eino musar. Odilma lo polig matnitin ben katan legodl. And in either case, it's a matter of kavod. The Gemara goes, quoting the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Suma pores al shmar, Tanya omru lo le Rabbi Yehuda. So what, remember, we said a pores al shmar can't, because if you haven't seen the light, you can't bless the light. So Tanya Omru lo Rabbi Yehuda, Harbeit sapu l'drosh b'merkava v'lo ra'u. A lot of people want to say a drosha about the Masa Merkava. In other words, in Yecheskel chapter Aleph, there's this mystical vision of the divine throne, the divine chariot, whatever it is. You ever see it? No. It's described as some kind, but everybody wants to talk about it. In other words, never having seen something has not prevented Jewish people from having something to say about it. So like, why should not having ever seen the sun prevent you from saying the bracha of Yotzer Or? Rabbi Yehuda hatam be'avneta deliba tolya. No, in the Maaseh Merkava, it all depends upon the understanding of the heart. Of the heart, the libo. In other words, whatever Yecheskel is describing in that mystical prophecy, it's not a matter that if I could show you a picture of it, you would understand it. Right? It's all somehow metaphorical. So our ability to understand it is not limited by the fact, not limited nor would it be enhanced by your ability to see or not see it. But that's not true about the bracha on the sun. If you're blind, can you say the bracha on the rainbow? No. Because it's a bracha that's said in response to a visual stimulus. And if you're blind, what? Say the bracha on light. So for all the brachot hariyah. Kiddush Levana also, presumably a blind person does not say Kiddush. I don't know for a fact. Presumably a blind person does not say Kiddush Levana. But all the brachot on visual stimuli, if you can't see it, Rachmanus, you're putter from saying the bracha. So the comparison to the Maaseh Merkava is not in place. Vaha ki michavein v'yoda hocha. But if you think about it, if you concentrate, if you have kavana, if you meditate on the meaning of the Merkava, so you might know something about it.
You know, you could say, like, I've never seen a red dragon, but I can at least imagine one in my head. And a blind person would not be able to imagine a red dragon if you've never seen anything. The color red would not have any meaning to him. He wouldn't be able to imagine a red dragon in his head. He can't even imagine
it. So, hacha mishum hano. So here, in the case of the bracha of Yotzer Or, it's a bracha that we recite on the hana'ah that we receive from daylight. So,
did it ever say, actually, this I mean, you mentioned it was true about the Yotzer Or, but was it mentioned in Rashi or in the Gemara somewhere that that's what we're talking about? Did it say
explicitly? Yes, well.
I wonder if this is true. I mean, there was a study put out a couple of years back, I guess, when I was 20 or 30, saying how blind people can't differentiate between light and darkness. So is that case?
It depends on the kind of blindness.
Right.
In other words, most blind people are not completely blind as if they have no, there's still a visual cortex, right? So they see that they see things extremely blurry, so that they're legally blind. But they see things as like kind of light and shadow.
So in that case, would they still be high on this
rough? So maybe, but somebody whose visual cortex has been destroyed, so it's just like pitch black all the time. Because there's nothing to register the stimuli of the. Yeah, here in this Tosfos, Mishalora Mirot, Lo Yifros al Shma. So the Gemara says. Hacha mishum hano, who vaha late le hano. The blind person gets no benefit from the light, so therefore he cannot recite that bracha. V'rabanan it le hanaa. But the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say a blind person does get benefit from the light. Even a blind person who's been completely blind his whole life gets benefit from the light. And this is a Gemara that you all know, even if you don't know it. Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya Omer Rabbi Yossi, Kol Yamai Hayiti Mitzta'er Al Mikra Zeh, V'Hayiti Mimashesh B'Tzorayim Kasher Yimashesh Ha'iver Ba'afela. Where's that pasuk from?
Dvarim.
Yeah, okay. V'Hayita Mimashesh B'Tzorayim, it's from the Tochacha. That's from Kitavo. That you'll go around, you'll be in darkness like a blind person in the dark. What does it mean to be a blind person in the dark? Is it darker for the blind person at midnight than it is at noon? Well, in other words, it's tautological. It should say you'll go around in darkness like a blind person.
For the blind person in the light, if you're going to say anything.
Right, so for the blind person,
It makes sense if you think about it this way. A regular person, when it's light, he knows where everything is, he knows how to act. It gets dark, he still has some semblance he still has some zikaron. A blind person in the darkness doesn't even have that to fall back on. He doesn't have the regular people who can see to help him.
Oh, so that's what.
So now he's even further behind.
So this is what the Gemara says.
It makes sense.
So anyway, so first he said, first Rabbi Yossi says, a blind person is just as blind in broad daylight as he is in pitch darkness. Once I was walking around in the middle of the dark, middle of the night. V'ra'iti suma shehaya mahalech baderech va'avuka biyado. And there was a blind person walking around with a torch. Amarti lo bni avuka zu lama lacha. Why are you carrying this flashlight? You can't see it. Amale kol zman shavuka biyadi bnei adam roinoti umatzilinoti min ha pchatin umin ha kotzin umin ha barkanim. Right, so I can't see anything, but other people will see me and they will make sure I don't fall down into the well. So you wouldn't believe it. Today I'm walking to work. I see a blind person with the guide dog, and the blind person is wearing one of those efodzo, you know, those yellow vests. I didn't ask him like, why are you wearing this yellow vest? But presumably that's his avuka balayla. Right, it makes him more visible,
right,
too.
It's different, though, because the vest's purpose is generally so that other people see you.
Right.
A torch is usually so that you can see.
Yeah, okay, but the point is the same. That, in other words, why does he wear the vest? In other words, it's more important for the blind person to be visible by others.
Right.
So I thought it was a nice coincidence. All right, there's a new Mishnah. We're almost done with the perek. You know, usually at the end of the perek, things get shorter.
Mm-hmm.
You like move from.
It's like they run out of energy toward the end.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just making that up.
Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin lo yisa et kapav. Rabbi Yehuda omer af mi shehayu yadav tzvuot tzvuot satis lo yisa et kapav mipnei sheam mistaklin bo. A kohen who has some deformity in his hands should not duchen.
Is this still relevant today? Because I remember, when this issue was relevant to being a kohen, that it used to be, I remember hearing once that they didn't used to put the tallit over the hands. It used to be just exposed.
Yeah.
Now the tallit covers it. So I imagine that if that was an issue today, somebody an issue, wouldn't necessarily be as concerned, because anyway, you're not seeing the client.
Precisely so. Precisely so.
So also maybe the whole thing of not looking is also not such a big deal anymore, since you can't see.
And also because the Shekhinah does not rest on the hands of the kohen. You know, like you go blind. Didn't they ever tell you that?
Well, not me.
I don't know about if you go blind, but
at the age when they were telling me these things, I was the one who was. I was looking. I was the one who was.
But when you're little, they tell you if you look at the coin, you'll go blind, which leads to. And it's here in Eretz Yisrael where we follow the halacha. I mean, duchen every day. The only disadvantage to keeping the halacha is that duchening loses some of its enchantment and magic. But in Chutz La'aretz, where Ashkenazim would only duchen on the holidays,
little Leonard Nimoy.
Yes, it had. It had that kind of magic to it, and also because they would schlep it out, they would sing the nigunim and
What's the meaning behind that little thing that you're supposed to say while they sing?
And then also, in other words, so they added all these Kabbalistic incantations of what you should meditate on while the kohanim are being ma'arich in their So I always told you, if you look at that kohen's hands, you go blind, because the Shekhinah, you know, like at the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? So, but of course, that idea that the Shekhinah rests on the hands of the kohanim is only in Beit HaMikdash, when they would pronounce the bracha b'shem ha'mefurash.
No, I thought the reason not to look was just because don't look at gift horse in the mouth kind of thing. Not like a
Gemara will say, and it's not so much don't look a gift horse in the mouth. No, but this has led to this minag ta'ut that you see sometimes people in Chutz La'aretz, where people literally turn their back to the kohen.
Not just in Chutz La'aretz.
Not just in Chutz La'aretz.
I've seen like kids.
Yeah.
When the parents are,
you've seen people that continue reading the newspaper in shul while the kohanim. Yes.
No. But I'm saying here, sometimes kids will turn around to be facing like their father's tomb, but they, you know.
Rav gave it an interesting
answer. I just turned my kids around.
Looking at the coin is as if you're seeing the coin as the makor bracha.
So anyway, but you should not turn your back. You should never turn your back on a bracha. But there was this idea that you shouldn't gaze at the hands because you'll get distracted instead of having, you know, like a kavanah on the bracha itself. But of course, certainly amongst Ashkenazim in Chutz La'aretz, where duchening was a rarer occurrence, it led to all types of things. So if the kohen's hands are somehow deformed, he should not duchen. And Rabbi Yehuda said if his hands are colored, let's say he works in a profession where his hands are colored, going to be something about the hands that
would draw attention
and distract from Kavanah, so you shouldn't do it. Like what would like a kind of deformity in the hand be?
A tattoo
maybe.
Arthritis?
Well, not about arthritis, but the Gemara will describe where his fingers. His fingers are like this, or it describes if the fingers curve back like this, or what was his name from the Princess Bride who had the six finger? Who was the six finger man?
Christopher Guest, the actor. But
yeah, but what was the character's name?
It
wasn't Humperdinck. It was his henchman.
That was
the
prince.
He was the one who made it and tells him, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father."
Like,
okay,
what
was his name?
We can get a WhatsApp when we get home. When you get home, you'll have it.
Should we know his name?
Yeah, for sure. It's
on the tip of your tongue. If only Ted Cruz were here.
Ted Cruz
apparently knows the Princess Bride bald peh backwards and forwards. He can recite the whole thing. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. We'll stop here, but I want to come back. Here, I'm going to take this back. Next week, we'll come back to this question of when the Mishnah says that a katan shouldn't duchen, what does that mean? Because our katanim they all duchen. So we'll come back to that next week. Yeah.